For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back for our Survivor Exit interview. Today we're going to be talking with the latest person voted out of the game, and that's going to be Janine Zhang. And we're going to talk to her about everything that she went through on her Survivor adventure and hear what she is thinking about all things Season 43 of Survivor. Got a very exciting Survivor day lined up here because later on tonight, I'm going to be talking with Christian Hubicki. Great time to talk to Dr. Hubicki about everything that's going on here as we look ahead to the final 10. We'd love to get his thoughts on where things are at here in the season and his thoughts overall on everything we've seen so far. So make sure you are subscribed to Rob Is a Podcast to not miss any of that. Go to robisawebsite.com/subscribe, not to mention everything else we've got coming up this week, including the feedback show with Kirsten McInnes. If you want to drop us a voicemail and then everything going on in our Survivor podcast feed. This interview can also be seen on our YouTube channel. Head on over to robiswebsite.com/YouTube where you will find this. And then also check out my weekly What I Expect to See previews for each upcoming episode of Survivor there on our YouTube channel. I see that we have Janine on the line, so let's go ahead and bring her in. Hey, Janine, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here. I've got so many questions for you, and hopefully I will get your most truthful answers to these questions. Absolutely. Here today. All right, so talk me through, what did you expect to have happen at that tribal council?
Mm-hmm. I was expecting, I knew it was going to be either Ryan or me. Like, I was not under any illusion that I was protected or safe. I really thought going into that tribal council, I can either trust in the relationships that I have, the things that people are telling me, and that it is Ryan, or, you know, I go home. And for me, it was a lot of this idea of numbers moving forward, relationships being able to rely on moving forward. It was either I have enough people who are on my side at this tribal council who I can work with and make it long term, or I go home. Yeah. And I had never really been thinking about an in-between, and maybe to my own detriment, like, it was always about a long-term game for me. And I wasn't willing to kind of self-preserve for the next day. I wasn't willing to throw anyone else's name out in order to stir the pot or to make it just one more day. And so, yes, that's what kind of you saw. That's why I ended up in the situation where I was in, where it was really just me resolved in the idea that it was like Ryan or me.
A tough spot for sure. Did you consider the shot in the dark?
I did. And again, I think that what we had seen a lot of, why people had been voted out in this preseason, and kind of Jeff started to allude to it during this tribal council. And I think that this is something that I especially felt, was this idea of a social construct. Like, we, for whatever reason, as a season, decided that you never want to stick your neck out too far. You never want to be seen as the player that's like paranoid or doing too much or strategizing too much. And I felt like, it's crazy because I felt like anything that could, again, save me could also work against me in that moment. So it's like looking for an advantage, you know, scrambling too much, having too many conversations with people, playing my shot even. Like, I thought there's a 1 in 6 chance that this even is successful. If it's successful, I am just putting more of a target on my back because I'm showing to people who could potentially trust me that I didn't trust them in the vote. And, you know, also just kind of like further isolating myself as this person that was like desperate and needed to do that. And so for me, it was really, again, long-term or nothing.
Okay. It was a 10-2 vote. You didn't know ultimately that it was going to be you. Did you feel particularly betrayed by any of the 10 votes that came your way?
I don't know that I felt betrayed at that point, because I don't think that I ever really felt like there was you know, I was on the wrong side of the vote. I'd been blindsided twice before then. And so for me, there was no real trust there with anyone out there. And I think that was what was so difficult about that vote was I have no rhyme or reason to understand, you know, what's the baseline? Like what, there was no compass for what was true, what wasn't. And so when I left, I really, it wasn't honestly like super hurtful in any personal sense, because I feel like everyone had kind of, most people had already kind of broken that trust with me at that point.
One of the things that I'm hoping you can talk me through is that we saw Cassidy so animated about this vote. Cassidy felt so strongly about wanting to, that whether it was keep you in the game or get Ryan out of the game. Did you get any insight into why Cassidy felt so strongly to that she was the only other person to vote with you?
You know, it was highlighted in this episode, and I wish that it was highlighted a little bit earlier, but as the last four women in post-merge, like that was actually something that we had all had a conversation about. And I felt morally outside of the game, like the reason why we decided to split votes on James and Ryan was because I drew a line and said, not the women on Coco. I don't feel comfortable voting Cassidy or Carla. And because other people didn't felt indifferent about who it was, that was the line we drew. And that was an emotional kind of moment. And I think we saw that again with Cassidy in this moment where she is like, I don't want another woman to go. Like, it's really hurtful to have to see this time and time again. And so, yeah, I think that that had a lot to do with and played a lot into why she ultimately voted for Ryan. I think part of it might also be a fear of me playing my shot, right? So if not, if I am miraculously saved by a 1-in-6 shot, throwing a vote to at least make sure that it wasn't someone she didn't want to go home, going home.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about your idol, okay? Let's go back to the last tribal council. Do you have any suspicion that Dwight could potentially pass off your idol to another person?
No. I mean, why would he? I think at that point, we were so set on this swap makes sense. This Vessi Baca cross tribe swap makes sense. And it just, in my mind, I would not have thought of him handing it off to Jesse at the last moment. Mm-hmm. And then not telling any of us about it. Yeah.
Whenever you found out about that, were you angry that he did that?
No, my reactions were shock. My reactions were, oh my God, that's my baby. Give me my baby back, you know? And I, at the same time, as a super fan of the show, I can just so appreciate the fact that that's what happened. And that there's just like crazy the amount of luck and happenstance that goes into this. And I also personally felt, okay, at least the amount of blood, sweat, tears it took for me to assemble this didn't go to waste, and it didn't just go home with Dwight, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in that tribal council last week, okay, there's a point where you are reaching behind you where Dwight is sitting and you are tapping. Now, was that to like a there, Dwight? Or are you kind of saying like, hey, give me the idol back?
It's the question of that episode, right? Honestly, in that moment, I was thinking about Dwight as a person and as a friend, and I could feel him being so nervous behind me and shaking. And that's what you're saying is Noelle and I just kind of comforting him, saying, you're good, you're good. All of us, I mean, I at least, you know, we understand the rules of the game. You have a window and a period of time in order to make any exchanges, any last minute pass off that you want to. Once that window is gone, it's on your person. So I was not trying to like sneak it back from him. I was really just comforting him.
Okay. Let's go back one tribal council before that. Ellie, your best friend in the game, is going to potentially be going home. And you tell her, I'll play the idol for you if necessary. How close did you come to playing the idol for Ellie at that tribal council?
I was not honestly close to playing it for her. When I said that, I'm I had to be 100% certain that my idol would be put to use and put us both in a better position moving forward in order to play it. And that was like kind of the default was for me to just, I need this for myself. And this is something, this is a piece of, you know, power that I have in the game. And in order for it to be used, I have to be certain that it will actually benefit my game. And I just wasn't convinced that that was going to be the case. And, you know, had I even played it for her, like what, where would that leave us? It would be us two on an island against the rest of the merge.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about what Sammy has going on? Because it seems like he's all over the place here during the post-merge game. He ultimately flips against your group. How upset are the Baka tribe members after the vote where Dwight goes home?
I mean, we were definitely upset. Sammy flip-flopped at the last minute, and I think that that was the last straw for me. I was like, I can't trust you again. I've trusted you time and time again, and the reason why I trusted him so much was because when it isn't shown, we had a very close relationship on a personal level out there. And I'm a very trusting person, as you can see. But yeah, the irony is at that point, it was just one too many bridges burned. And I think Owen felt similarly. But yeah, at that point, we also didn't have that many options of people who could work with us in the minority. So it was hard because I couldn't trust him, but I kind of had to force myself to.
I would love to hear a little bit more about your relationship with Gabler. Of course, you know, so much of Gabler and Ellie's story was focused on the tension between them. And of course, you know, you're friends with Ellie, but we don't really hear Gabler talk too much about how he feels about you and vice versa. So what was it like working with Gabler in the game? And did you have a better relationship than we might imagine?
Well, I think it's interesting because in the beginning, Ellie and Gabler were closer. And then that's why you see him feeling so betrayed when he's told about the bag, right? And I don't really get that backlash because him and I didn't have that close relationship in the early days. That being said, I never had an issue, personal issue with Gabler. Like Gabler and I never had beef with each other. And that's why he didn't target me. And that's why you saw he voted with us on the Dwight vote. Like it wasn't irreconcilable, this Baka relationship between me and the Baka boys. Yeah, there was definitely a difference there. I think what got lost in translation was pre-merge, I was actually told that Gabler's out to get me because he wasn't going to tell Ellie that he's going to out to get her. And so the entire narrative for me before the merge was, oh my God, my back's against the wall. That's why I went through the bag. That's why I did all these things, is because I thought that we were really at odds when it comes to light that's not the case.
Janine, can you talk a little bit about the injury you suffered during the season when you got cut in the first challenge? And was that as painful as it looked?
It was, you know, it was painful. I think the worst part about it was, so I got it with the log challenge where I was literally suffocating under the log. And the only way to free myself was to scrape my face up against it and release myself from it. And so that was the worst part, was the feeling like I was actually going to die.
Oh my God.
That, of course, it was the scare. And Cody and Ryan, I'm sure if you ever, you know, get the chance to ask them, will also agree that that log was the physically hardest thing that we had to do out there. It was traumatizing. But the scrape itself, it was like, also, I'm not fussed about these things. Like, I think you see, I'm so, like, I'm a hazard to myself. I have scrapes, bruises everywhere. And while I'm out there, I'm like, I could not care less. I'm thinking about the game. I'm not fussed about my physical, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Do you wish you would have handled anything differently in regards to the business with Gabler's idol?
I mean, hindsight's 2020. So, of course, I think that it is, watching it back, it's hard to, you know, he had the clue. He could reread it anytime. I understand that. I think what's missing is that he was such a wild card that we just like, we didn't know what he thought or knew. And there was a period of time where we were honestly all very worried for his physical state, let alone his mental state. Like, he was not doing well out there. You see that a little bit, he's deteriorating. So when you're so physically depleted, your mind's not also working at that caliber, obviously. And so I think that played into it. I also think Ellie touched upon this in her exit interview, but this idea that we had close relationships with them. So what is seen as overconfidence was really over trust. It was this trust in they will react to, you know, if Ellie throws it out there like, oh, you should have a fake idol making party. His reaction, we felt like he had been playing with his heart and been very upfront with us. He told everyone about the idol, you know, he's just a stand up guy. We thought that his reaction to that would indicate what he knew about his idol at that point.
Janine, in the preseason, we heard that your dad is the big Survivor super fan. This was something that you both shared and bonded over. What was your dad's reaction to watching you play this season?
I mean, it made this whole season so worth it. And it was while I was out there getting kicked time and time again, he was always what I drew inspiration from. I was like, if my dad can, you know, be so wholly alone in a country and thrive and somehow find a way, then okay, I can do this. Suck it up, Janine. It's 26 days at most. Like, you can feel alone right now, but it's time to just kick into gear and do this. And watching it back with him has been the most amazing, incredible experience. And, you know, it really, really is full circle to be able to share that with him, because it's something that he obviously could never have done.
Right. That's really nice to hear. And I'm so glad that you two had that. Janine, I know you got to run. Anything else you want to make sure the listeners know?
Honestly, like I said, I just think I wish that they'd shown more of the rapport and relationship and banter that we had at Baca. I think it's like entertaining, obviously, to see all the drama and all the divisiveness. But at the end of the day, like, we were a Baca family. We really did support each other. We relied on each other. We had so much fun. And yeah.
Okay. Janine, so nice to get the chance to talk to you. All the best outside of Survivor. And
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye, Rob.
Recording stopped.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, great job.
Thank you. All right. It's so crazy. I can't wait. I'm just like, I'm having a moment outside of myself because I'm like, this is rap.
It's so fun. I wish we had more time. All right. Hopefully we can chat again sometime. Okay, Janine?
Of course.
All right. Keep in touch. Okay. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Janine, who is a very good sport, had a lot of bad luck. We talked about it on the Know It Alls last night, and really happy to hear that she had a great experience going through everything with Survivor. And she talked about in the preseason about how, you know, her dad was the Survivor fan, really got her into the show. And so really cool to hear about their story together. Also really cool, Jordan Kalish is going to be here in just a moment to talk us through what happened on This Week in Survivor History when we come back right after this.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, and back with us after a one-week hiatus. Here he is. It's the host of This Week in Survivor History, the great Jordan Kalish. Jordo, how are you?
Doing great. I had to take a little bit of a hiatus Biskauskas, but I am back. I hope everyone had a great time in Washington, D.C. I definitely had some FOMO last week, but I'm happy to be back on the podcast, even though I couldn't have been there.
It wasn't the same without you.
DC show. Yes. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that.
Okay. Yes.
Thanks so much fun.
Yes. And from D.C. To D.C., where as D-Schoolish, as they used to call him back in the day for spooky season, is back with us to talk about what is going on in the first week of November. Actually, the second week of November. Are we including last week also?
Yeah, I mean it's episodes that took place from I believe like November 6th. Yeah, November 6th through November 12th. Right. So we're sort of in November-ish. The end of the first week to most of the second week. Yeah, it's the beginning of November.
All right. All right.
Sometimes I cheat. Sometimes I go outside this week. This week I did not do that.
Okay. Look, all's fair in love and Twitch. All right, Jordan. So what do you have in mind for us this week?
All right. So we're going to play a game with this. This game actually has very simple rules. Okay. These are all multiple choice questions. They are all from episodes that happened this week in Survivor history. I have eight seasons for you. They each have one question. So it's eight multiple choice. If you need the multiple choice and you get it right, you get 1 point. If you get it without the multiple choice, you get 2 points. If you get it wrong, I will give you the multiple choice. So you'll get a chance to get a point on a question. Mm-hmm. I have 16 of these. I have 8 of these. So there's 16 possible points. So I'm going to say out of 16, what do you think is fair? Like a 13 out of 16 is a win? 12? What's fair? I don't think the questions are that hard.
Okay. If they're not that hard, 13 out of 16.
Let's go 13. I think you're going to be able to do it. Plus you don't lose points and you're able to, answer mm-hmm. on the multiple choice if you get it wrong. So let's go to the first one. What was the vote tally at the first tribal council after Survivor History's first ever tribe swap? The vote total. So one person got one amount of votes.
What do you mean the vote total? Like total number of votes cast?
Rob, let's say you and I both were at tribal council.
Okay.
I got 5 votes. You got 4 votes. The vote total would be 5-4.
This is just a very weird way of asking how many people went to the tribal council, right?
Well, I mean, if it's like... let's say you know the amount of people, you still need to get like one person got this many votes and the other people got this many votes.
Okay. But all of the votes cast are going to add up to the number of people that were at the tribal council, correct? Like we're talking about first tribe swap ever, right? We're talking about Survivor Africa, right?
Yes. We're talking. Yes.
Okay. So how many people were in the game?
Yeah, yes.
On the tribe.
On the tribe.
Went to
you
the
also
first...
have to say like what the tally was. It was this many votes to this many votes.
Okay. I'm going to say that it was... So I have to tell you if it was like 5-1 or 4-2?
Yeah, or whatever it might be.
Okay. I guess I'll say that it was 4-2.
4-2 is incorrect, but I will give you the multiple choice. It was either 3-3 with a tiebreaker, 4-2, or 5-1. Well, you know it's not 4-2.
It's 5-1.
It is 5-1. So you get 1 point. You start out with 1. I don't know why that was that confusing.
Because you said what's the number of votes?
The vote. I said the vote tally. The tally is how many votes to how many other votes.
What's the vote tally? Okay.
Yeah, that's the vote. The vote tally. What would you call it?
I don't know. Like vote tally seems like the number of votes. Okay. Let's not get in the weeds on this.
Yeah. I hope nobody else has this much trouble.
Maybe everybody else is driving in their car. Rob, I know exactly what Jordan's talking about. That was not a poorly worded question.
I think they do. I think your mind's still in DC, Rob. You're mm-hmm. still stuck. Mm-hmm. You're stuck in the DC gridlock. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Survivor Thailand, something that we don't usually like to say. Mm-hmm. Who was the last player voted out before the merge?
Okay, now, hold on a minute.
We the say, merge. The merge of Survivor Thailand.
The real merge. What did they have? So then Shihan got voted out, and then was it... I'm going to say that it was, let's see, how many people did they actually come in with? I know Aaron Collins was one of the people, but I guess was it Aaron Collins or was it Ken? So I'm going to say that it was, did they go to a tribal council? They voted out. I'm going to say that it was Aaron Collins.
Aaron Collins was the last player voted out before the merge. Of course, I'm not referring to the fake merge. I'm referring to the real merge. Ken Stafford was the merge boot on that season. So you get 2 points. You are mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, Ken wasn't even part of the multiple choice. It was going to be Shihan, Penny, or Aaron. They did two votes post fake
only merge. Three choices?
Yeah, just 3 point multiple choice. Wow. Yeah.
What is
that? That's why I don't think it's
you've
hard.
Never before in the history of Twitch done A, B, or C.
I think I've done it. I'm pretty sure I've done it before. Maybe not. I don't know. All right.
If anybody out there can tell us the time that Jordan did the A, B, or C,
we'll get Rob's
let us know.
And I think he takes stats. Okay, so let's go 2 seasons later to Survivor Pearl Islands. This is the outcast vote in which 2 players were voted back into the game. How many of the outcasts received at least 1 vote to return?
How many of the outcasts got at least 1 vote to return? Now, they were all allowed to cast 2 yes. votes. So, my first instinct is to say all of them. But I will say that, let's see, 3. If everybody put a vote for Burton and people didn't want to go on the trip with Lil, allegedly, that eats up a lot of votes. So I'll say that 4 of them got votes.
That, unfortunately, Rob, is incorrect. It was not 4 people, 4 of the outcasts. So you the multiple choice, you either know it's going to be 5 or 6. 4 was one of the options, but it was not right.
Okay, I'll say it was 5.
They actually all received at least 1 vote. It was the only 3-3 to 2-2 to 1-1 vote in Survivor history. So unfortunately, you don't gain any mm-hmm. points there. Which I believe, since you you have lost, you didn't get the 2 points there. You only got 1 point in the first one. You need to get all of these without the multiple choice in order to win
God.
The game. Maybe 13 was too hard. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't have the outcast vote memorized from Survivor Pearl Islands.
It was a big moment in Survivor history. Only time they've ever done that twist. I think of all the times they've returned players to the game, I think maybe the best one, but still, mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think they did it well, and I'm happy it was just the merge. Who was voted out at the first ever tribal in which an idol was played?
Okay, so we're going back to Survivor Guatemala.
Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, so I'm going to guess that it was, I will say it was Bobby John.
Bobby John returning from Survivor Bobby John returning from Survivor Palau.
Yeah.
Is correct. So you get 2 points there. You have a total of 5. That is correct. Gary Hogaboom or Gary Hawkins, however you prefer, played the idol before the votes were read. That's how that was the old rules. And before the votes were cast, and he was not able to be voted for. So Bobby John is the correct answer. We're going to our next question. Who was the first ever Survivor player voted out of a tribe that had gained players due to a mutiny? So there's only been one mutiny in which players swapped in Survivor history.
Okay.
Who was the first Survivor player voted out of a tribe that had gained players due to a mutiny?
The first Survivor tribe that voted, the first person to get voted out of a tribe that gained people from a mutiny.
Yes.
I'm going to say it was a woman named Rebecca.
So Rebecca Borman is incorrect.
Oh, all right, how
about
a different
Rebecca?
Doesn't
seem like you're going to win this game, yeah. Rob.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you the multiple choice. A, Brad Verada. B, Jessica Flicka-Smith. C, you know it's not Rebecca Borman.
Okay, I'll say it's Brad Verada.
Brad Verada is correct. So Rebecca Borman was voted out at the following tribal council, in which Jenny Guzan, I Love You Bay, was also voted out. Brad, though, voted out before Rebecca, which was right after Jonathan and Candace mutinied. So you do get 1 point there. And we move on to our next question. In Survivor South Pacific, the final 10 was given the option to eat pastries or compete in the immunity challenge. Who was the only former Upolu member that chose to eat?
The only former Upolu member who chose to eat.
Sorry. The only former Savai'i member who chose to eat.
Okay. This is at the final 10. Okay. Former Savai'i member that chose to eat. I think that... I'm going to guess it was Cochran.
So common sense would say that the guy that had flipped to the majority would feel the safest, and common sense is correct. Cochran is the correct answer. You get 2 points there. Everybody else, Don Whitney and Jim Rice, all competed. Jim Rice got voted out.
And Don won immunity on this?
She
came close. She got a good showing.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly who won immunity on this challenge, but
yeah. Why would you know what happened in Survivor history?
Yeah, well, it's a very specific point in Survivor. It was either Don or Whitney.
Let me ask you something. These questions that you ask me, do you know the answers to them?
I would know the answers to most of them, at least with the multiple choice.
So you would think, if you took this quiz, if there was a clone of you who took this quiz every week you would get every question right.
I think I would get most of the questions right. I think I would get like 90-something%. I mean, like, let's look at the questions. 5-1, I would have known that everybody voted for Silas. The Erin Collins thing, I'm pretty sure I would have got. The Pearl Islands, I remember the vote total without even looking at that. Right. 3-3-2.
Maybe next week, I should make a quiz for you.
Well, I'd be fine with that. I mean, Mary Kwiatkowski did that once, and I competed against you, and I won. I think that's fine.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll put it on my list of things to do.
Okay. Put it on the list. Put it on the whiteboard.
All right. Fine.
Tell Sam.
Fine.
Have Sam schedule
next week. You take, I'll ask you the questions. You take the quiz.
You're saying this after a question you got right.
I don't think you know things.
I know most of them. I mean, I know most of the questions I come up with. Who knows if I know most of the questions that you come up with? I don't think these are that crazy. You've gotten most of them right.
Because I feel like often you ask a question and then the answer that you have is actually needs to be fact checked in a way that if a person who knew the answers to all the questions would never have any questions that were needed to be fact checked.
Well, I mean, you might have a various fact that needs to be fact checked that wasn't the answer to the question. But I don't have every boot list memorized in Survivor history.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking.
All right. So, all right, that'll be fun next week.
All right, let's do it. Okay. Next question. We're going to Redemption Island. At the last Redemption Island challenge before the Blood versus Water merge, in which Alora Morette returned to the game, who came in second, outlasting John Cody? This one, I don't know if I would have known, but no, okay. I think I could have figured it out. I think I would have known, actually.
The person that came in, it was a troll, and somebody came in second?
Yes, yes.
And Alora Morette got back into the game?
Yes.
And so, Boy, I guess it would be Laura Bonham.
Laura Bonham is correct. She was the third person competing in that challenge. I think, nine times out of 10, if it's Laura Bonham versus John Cody in a challenge, John Cody might take it. But in this one, Laura Bonham outlasted Cody. So good for Laura, the Amazing Race contestant, Laura Bonham. Mm-hmm. So you get 2 points there. Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
In the David versus Goliath merge episode, White Lotus season one star Alec Merlino proposed the Strike Force Alliance. Of the White Lotus season two co-stars, Cara Kay and Angelina, how many were included in this alliance?
The Strike Force of six?
The Strike Force of six.
Zero. Zero. It was zero members of the White Lotus alliance.
Zero
except
is correct.
The show's creator. Well,
Mike White, but I said that of the two co-stars, Cara Kay and Angelina. Yes. Yes, Mike White was part of. Do you know the full Strike Force of six?
Yeah, it was Alec, Mike White, and was it Dr. Allison, and then Christian, Gabby, and Nick.
Pretty good. That's good. Yeah, you got the six. No points, but you got
RJP
the six.
Recap guest, Christian Hubicki.
Oh, okay. So very timely question there.
Yeah.
And we have one more multiple choice question.
Okay.
At the Survivor 41 final seven, final 11, the contestants drew rocks to determine the two teams of five for the reward challenge. Who drew the odd rock, resulting in them not being randomly placed on either of the teams?
What season again?
41, final 11.
Okay. At the final 11, the person that drew the rock... So I think this is a little bit of a tricky question because then I think there was a switch that happened, but I believe it was Erica who for the second week in a row drew the gray rock and then switched with Xander.
That is correct. Erica drew the odd rock, resulting in them not being randomly placed on either teams. I had to carefully word this one because she ended up being on a team. You're correct, Xander took her spot. So you finish with 14. What did I say a win was?
13. We said it was what? 13.
Maybe I was apparently I did some Kalish math where I thought you were out of it, but apparently you won.
Hey, so
congratulations!
I can't wait to take the quiz next week.
Oh, I think it's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
And I have a one.
Anybody has some question ideas for next week? I may recruit some questions. Maybe I'll do like a renowned. Yeah, sure. I maybe I'll put a Google form of like if you have questions you want to write for this week in Survivor history, send them in. I'll make a form.
They have to be well worded questions. I want like precise math. I don't want any mistakes.
I don't even need people to write the questions. I think that people can just like give me the fact to highlight, and I can write like wordsmith the questions.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay,
you have time for this?
I'll make the time for this.
Okay, sounds good. All right, okay. Verbal rebus time. Are you gonna make a verbal rebus?
Probably not.
Okay, so
would you like a verbal rebus?
If you make one, I'll play one.
All right.
So let's do a verbal rebus. This is the only Thailand contestant to ever return.
Okay.
You know who that is. Minus the first syllable of the last name of IOI's resident teacher.
IOI's.
Island of the Idols.
Yes, resident teacher. Say this again.
Yes, this is the only Thailand contestant to ever return, minus the first syllable of the last name.
Okay,
of Island of the Idols. Right. Resident teacher.
Got it.
Plus the guy who is basically a badass.
Okay.
Plus the first syllable of South Pacific's Red Tribe.
Plus the first syllable. Of South Pacific's Red Tribe.
Yep. And then finally, plus how Survivor Nicaragua's starting tribes were split.
Okay. By the way, just to, again, not to fact check the verbal rebus puzzle, I think you missed the Survivor Amazon's deaf contestant's first name.
Well, it's the first name of the guy who's
basically first name. Okay.
I guess I could have done that too. I could have done full name and then added Christy, which would have been fun. But you like the shorter verbal rebuses, I thought.
Yes. Is it Andrew Savage?
It is Andrew Savage. We had the only Thailand contestant to ever return, Sheehan, minus the first syllable of Island of the Idols resident teacher. That's Sheehan. So it's she minus she. We have Anne plus Drew, the badass, plus the first syllable of South Pacific's Red Tribe, Sav. And then how certain Nicaragua's starting tribes were split. Age, Andrew Savage, who was voted out twice this week in Survivor history in both Pearl Islands and Cambodia.
Incredible.
Bad week for Savage. I actually texted Liska Savage that it was the memorial of the double boot of her Uncle Andrew.
Okay. Jordan, you've done it again. I can't wait for the quiz next week. I'm very excited about this.
Do I have to? Does that mean I don't have to write any questions?
That's right.
Or do I still get the week off?
Yeah.
Okay. I could write you questions. You could write me questions.
No. Look, we don't need a 90-minute segment for Twitch. I will write questions for you next week.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm looking forward to it.
And this will be great. All right, Jordan, what else is coming up for you this week?
As always, doing the Survivor viewing party in New York City. I've had plenty of people this season actually reach out based on these shout outs that I've given and they have contacted me in regards to coming to the party. Everyone's had a great time. We actually had a Ricard at the party the other day. So sometimes Survivor contestants will just show up. It's great. Doesn't happen all the time. So if you come and there's no former survivors there, don't be disappointed. We still have a lot of fun people at the party. And it's, I think that this season, it's picking up. I think last episode maybe focused a little bit, too much on that challenge, the week you were in DC, but, I do think that this season still has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jordan, great job once again, looking forward to challenging you with a very exciting quiz next week.
It better be fair questions. I want good fair questions.
Oh, it'll be incredible.
Like, who came in like ninth place and like who dropped out?
Do you think I would do that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do it next week. Jordan, thank you so much.
Looking forward to it, Rob. I'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait. All right. So we are going to be loaded up with a jam-packed exit interview podcast coming up next week because it sounds like it's going to be two exit interviews plus Jordan Kalish takes the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Let's see how Jordan does when the shoe is on the other foot coming up next week on the Exit Interview. Thank you so much for listening to another Exit Interview podcast. Of course, got so much Survivor coming your way here on RHAP. Don't forget about our amazing race coverage as well. This morning, I also spoke with Jessica Leese and Mike Bloom about episode 8 of The Amazing Race. And I've got another Amazing Race exit interview coming up later on today. So thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.